How do you bring humanity into the workplace?
Let's not underestimate the complexity of the human mind and brain, right? And so this is an attempt at simplifying it. But within your achiever's strength, for example, there'll be threads of different kind of talent and things going on there. That's why we try and unpack it and work out what's true for you.
How do you have a framework for creating safety, helping people feel included, and how do you understand the things that support you in life?
Feedback has an expiry date of 7 days. Think about it that way. So the power of feedback is sitting right there in front of you, but if you're going to wait till your quarterly check-in or your annual review, then you're missing the opportunity to, one, point somebody out and recognize them.
The things that are holding you back. So in this episode, we actually unpack me, that hopefully will add value to understanding you. So I actually have no idea what's going to happen. We're in foreign territory.
Me neither, bro.
Okay, good. Good quick podcast. We're done. So I guess just to start us off, I guess the story of why we're talking is quite interesting.
Yes.
Why are we talking?
How far back do you want to go?
Oh, yeah. Well, you've been keeping an eye on me for like 15 years. Yeah.
I've been doing the strengths stuff, the strengths finder stuff for a few years now. And I think the connection was Finney, business owner, came on this podcast, had a bit of a yarn about strengths. And I thought, I've always had this idea in my head, like, I wish I could find a podcaster that would be prepared for me to just like do a strengths coaching session. I do hundreds of these, right? I've probably done 500 or 600 over the last few years of these sessions, right? So I always thought, if only I could get it on a recording, like, so people can see kind of what the process is.
Okay.
It's a very hard thing to put on a billboard and go, this is what we do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, it's valid. Well, before we do your strength thing, because I can see you breathing and you're about to talk, but I think to give you a little bit of protection from my, I think it was 4 podcasts ago, talking shit about strength finders and personality tests being bullshit. So I just...
I'm with you, man.
Let's clear it out.
I'll talk shit with you.
Let's clear that. So basically what I was saying was that I don't get it. I don't understand why profiling tests are valuable.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, you just try to listen to a person and understand them, but then when you reach a certain scale that becomes hard, so that sort of made sense to me. But I thought it was a bit of a woo-woo bullshit, so
yeah.
Well, you hit the floor.
So I would say some of them are a bit woo-woo bullshit.
Okay.
I think I spent 7 or 8 years in HR manager roles, senior HR manager roles, like in slightly larger organizations, 200-300 people. And when you're in that sort of space, you see heaps of psychometric assessments, heaps of profiling stuff. And I think they're used poorly. And we look at a report and think we know somebody. We can select somebody at recruitment stage but with it. And I think that's wrong. I think we often use the tool in a, not a very effective way. And also, some of them, you know, like Myers-Briggs and disc theory, they are good, but also 100 years old, 80 to 100 years old. So coming from another time period where research was different. So my point is I dismissed them for quite some time as well. Thought they were kind of interesting, but parked them until I started using strengths, until I actually did it myself.
Hmm.
Yeah. I experienced the workplace via me not wanting to be there. I had this great job. I had 6 figures. I thought I had, like, I'm ticking a lot of boxes, but I couldn't fucking get myself out of bed. There was parts of my job that I wasn't thriving, and I thought there was something wrong with me. Thought that I needed to be some other way, like the other HR people, being able to do certain things. But it wasn't until I did strengths that I actually realized, oh, what I think is wrong with me is actually something that I can play to as a strength and utilize.
Okay. Before we get in it just yet, how is it used right? Because you said how it was used wrong.
Yeah, how is it used right? That's good. I like that because this is positive psychology.
Which I also
self-awareness,
hate.
Man.
Sorry, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm a real people and culture nerd, so I'll put it like this, and we don't need to get into this unless you really want to, but I think high-performing, high-engaging organizations, at the center of those are high-performing, highly engaged teams. But if you look at that, highly engaged teams, at the center of that is manager. So Gallup will suggest that via their research that managers own 70% of the influence on how engaged someone is. Just think about your shit jobs you've had and the fact that you joined the company, you stick around for the team and you leave the manager, right? It's an impactful role and there's the microscope on it and we make some errors around who ends up with those roles. But at the center of manager, right? The center of manager is actually emotional intelligence.
Mm.
Not a set of strengths or a set of talents or behaviors. It's actually an ability to understand yourself and lead yourself from there. Because these patterns of behavior, we call these strengths, but that's the sexy name, right? That's what sells. They're just patterns of behavior. And so they do present potential for excellence, but they also have the potential for causing damage, depending on what you're trying to do.
Mm.
So they play against you as well. So that emotional intelligence stuff, that's probably the biggest thing for me, the EQ, when talking to managers. Do you understand who you are? Or are you trying to pretend to be some other type of manager or leader that somebody else told you they should be because they did it this way?
Okay. Makes sense. It's almost like a framework to understand others and yourself better,
mm-hmm.
which, as you're saying, if management EQ is your talent, if you have more tools to execute on your EQ.
Yes. Yeah. It puts a language to it, right? Because much like emotions, if we have a language to our emotions, they're easier to grasp and then manage.
Mm.
If you put a language to your patterns of behavior, now we can play with them easier. Now we can hold them and move them and speak to them like they're over here. And now if we create a shared language, like if we both now understand your achiever strength, now we can talk about when that plays for you and against you and how do you adjust the volume of that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, there we go. You had the floor. So let's get in the nitty gritty. Tell me about myself. No, just kidding. How should we do this, boss?
Honestly. Well, bro, I hit you up and just said, let's get you to do the assessment, which you did very fucking quickly. You just jumped right in.
Yeah, a rare moment for me.
Why?
I measure service by the speed of which you respond.
Okay.
I don't like doing it, but so I just try to respond as quickly as possible.
Yep.
And then if I think about it or intellectualize it, I won't do it.
Okay. And do you expect that of others?
Yeah.
In terms of speed?
I mean, I expect others to be themselves. If I'm hiring someone, then yeah, I think I want them to care about others and trying to do a good job. And part of the measure of that job is to respond quickly. It might not be the answer. Like, you don't have the answer quickly. But if you say to someone, you can squeak and swear, it doesn't really fuck that. I think if someone has a query,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to have the answer, but you have to acknowledge it. So someone comes in, hey, this is my concern. Hey, look, we're working on it. It's going to take us this time frame. And then you acknowledge it, it buys you time.
Sure, yeah.
Scene of service.
Right, gotcha. Do you like your job?
Do I like my job?
Yeah.
Finance, no. So I'm leaving it, but
okay.
The business, I love it. Yeah.
What do you like about it?
Well, I found an old report from when I was like in preschool, and it said Ryan will play with the others, but he likes to make his own rules.
Mm.
So the two main things I like is that I can decide how things are going to go, and then there's no one to blame except me.
Yep.
Because I play victim a lot.
Uh-huh, okay.
So those are the two things I like. Nowhere to hide and I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Uh-huh. So what's like a good day or a good week of work? When do you feel most alive?
When someone makes a meaningful change in their life as a result of talking to me.
Okay.
That's success.
You meet a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
Or at least you try to.
Yeah, I try to, yeah.
Unlike the other day when you turned up and he's met with somebody else. But
yeah, that old line, no one knows that story on the podcast. But yeah, it's fucking random. It's on LinkedIn, check it out.
How do you like to get to know people?
I find it hard to trust someone if they're not being genuine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll fuck with them until they seem genuine.
Yes. Why?
Because if I can understand someone, they're less likely to abandon me.
Hmm.
And if I'm valuable, they're less likely to abandon me.
Yeah.
If you want to go deep, I'll go deep as well.
Let's go.
But yeah.
Less likely to abandon you.
Yeah.
Hmm. What is it about, like, trusting that person's genuineness that means that they won't abandon you?
Because if I can't understand a person and their intent and who they are, I don't mind even if they're bad, as long as I'm not surprised by them being bad.
Yeah, for sure.
So if I understand them intently, as best you can, they might not even know themselves, but if I feel there's a disconnect between how they feel and how they're acting,
yes,
I find it hard to land.
Yeah. It's not safe for you.
Correct.
Yeah. Was there like an interesting thing that goes on in the brain, right, with safety? And we won't get into it too much, but prefrontal cortex, amygdala, when you feel unsafe, you're more in your amygdala. And one of those things that brings you more into your prefrontal cortex is genuine authenticity, right? That's why your relator is a strength, because your ability to be genuine and be authentic, your natural inclination to be that for others, puts people in a safe place. And you've probably seen this stuff about psychological safety in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue like that's that relator strength, that your number one, is a perfect place to lead from. Because now you're more likely to have your people in their prefrontal cortex where they're more likely to collaborate, problem solve, creative think, like relate, self-reflect, all those good things that we can't do when we're feeling a little bit like, is this dude going to fuck with me right now? Especially as a manager, right? Because now you're like under the microscope even more. And so that genuine authenticity, like, is a massive natural ability that you've got. You said that I felt like I seemed calm when I walked in. That was your doing.
Mm.
Because if you were like hoity-toity or like trying to be official and fucking all of this shit, I'm going to be a little bit more like, oh God, I've got to be something that I'm not right now. Did you, have a little read of this relator, and people that are listening, this dude has the relator strength at number one.
Yeah.
Results. So read that those top two bits and just tell me if any of that like you relate to or resonate with.
I'll read it aloud because the poor listeners. So there's two headings, I bring and I need. So the I bring is, this is what I can contribute, the value I add. And under the heading relator, social depth and transparency, informality that sets others at ease, solid, genuine and mutually rewarding relationships that foster trust, an ability to work hard with friends to achieve goals. That's one.
Yeah. So any of that, like, do you resonate with any of that? Is that true for you?
Well, it basically just said what I just said.
Yeah.
Didn't it? Yeah. So, you know, you got me and I didn't read it before you got here.
Yeah.
Well, I skimmed it. I did whatever you told me to do, but I forgot what it was.
Yeah. Well, you have Activator in your top 10 strengths, which we might not get to, but Activator goes quickly, man.
Yeah.
They want less discussion, more action.
Not here to fuck spiders.
There you go. That's the saying, bro. That's funny you say that. That is the saying we joke about with Activator.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
You're going to have to start writing shit down ahead of time, so I believe you. But you clutched it. You clutched it. So we go to the next one, huh?
Yeah. Well, the need side is interesting because I bring, okay, cool, this is what I bring to the table with this naturally occurring pattern of behavior. It happens for me so naturally, I feel like it's not even happening.
Mm.
It's unconscious. And so the needs is more about, what does my strength need in order to be in a place of thriving or feeling like maybe I'm even more in flow or I'm enjoying my work? So what are the needs there?
Opportunities for one-on-one interactions. Time to learn about the goals of others. Outlets to learn about the talents and strengths of those around me. Opportunities to form meaningful close relationships with colleagues. People to feel valued over processes.
Which ones of those do you resonate with most?
The one-on-one. That's why I do podcasts, because I hate networking.
Yeah.
So
I said that earlier too.
Yeah, you're just copying pasting the transcript in here.
It's all a magic trick.
But it's star signs and shit. I'm always like, fuck, man, I could write that. I used to do this thing called a cube test. It was from a book called The Game, which is fucked up. Don't do that.
Okay.
But the cube test is just an excuse to cold read someone, but it also has a framework to explain it.
Sure.
And I
is
could
it
get
the desert with the cactus and the cube. Is that what it is? Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, and it I was like,
it's a cool party trick.
It's a great party trick. Yeah. I was right 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Using it as a framework. One-on-one, love one-on-one. I love trying to help people fulfill their purpose and goals.
Cool.
Outlets, I love learning and developing people. Mm. Opportunities, if it's not meaningful, why are we friends?
Yeah.
And fuck processes. Yeah, no, it's all valid.
Yeah, man. If you go to a party and there's 14 people you know and 14 people you don't know and 4 people you do, which place, where do you gravitate more to?
I go to the friends and then force myself to talk to the new people.
Why do you go to the friends first?
Because they're scary.
Why?
Because the probability of rejection is much lower.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What else?
That's mainly it. Like I go to a club or just gravitate towards someone I know, but then leave them to try and face my fear. I might actually withdraw from people and try and meditate so I have the confidence to talk to someone new.
Wow.
So I might actually ignore the people I know.
So there's the, like, you love the podcasting, but it scares the shit out of you as well. That's interesting, right? That's happening to you somewhere in there.
Yeah.
You're not drawn to that new relationship necessarily. So you can think of your strengths as something you're drawn to, or there's a gravity there, you'll go there. And if you're drawn more to those 4 people, you might have that strength more up in your dominant area. It's more loud for you. It makes more quicker decisions and you listen to it more readily. You feel more safe there. Doesn't mean you can't make new friends, but like it prefers depth of relationship rather than breadth of relationship. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so relator goes towards the deep end. And if you've already built some of that relationship with somebody, the deep end exists there. So you're almost guaranteed to be fed there, as opposed to, I'm not sure if I'm actually, this might be draining for me. I might walk out of this networking feeling maybe self-loathing, but also just like not energized.
Yeah, I think I was frustrated with my fear of people, so I actually prioritize that over comfort. So I'll go to networking events and try not to talk to people I know, or talk to them to get enough confidence to talk to the new people.
Yeah. I was talking to a CEO with Relator who'd just gotten a new role in another company as CEO, and she has Relator in her top 5. And her struggle was, I've got to meet a whole bunch of people and I don't know how. Or at least I would prefer to just stick with the ones that I've already built relationships with. Even though she said, I love building relationships, but it's that first instance that is like the swimming upstream. And so in putting a name to that, to say, okay, there's a pattern of behavior that you have that's very natural and very useful that can sometimes play against you. How am I going to be conscious of that when I need to go network, or it's part of my job, or it's part of the expectations that I have of myself or whatever? You see, actually our weaknesses are our strengths turned up too loud, right? So your relator, when turned up too loud, just gets in your way. So how do you kind of like move that? You follow me?
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, making sense. I just don't know if that's a rhetorical question.
Which part?
Well, you're like, how do you manage it? And I'm like, oh, well, I make a habit of, doing the uncomfortable.
Yeah, cool. And when we work through your strengths, and let's play with it now, even without you understanding some of your other strengths, you might, when your relator's turned up too loud, lean into another strength to turn up to kind of be more of what you want to be in that particular moment. So
okay.
Even just looking at your strengths in front of you, you've got achiever, learner, input, positivity. Any of those might even stand out as something that you might balance against your relator consciously?
Well, I can't remember what they are.
Okay.
Because I read it when you said, and now it's so long ago, I just didn't think about it now.
Yeah, no worries. Well, we'll get there. But, that's where we take people, right, with understanding their strengths, is put a name to it. How is it real for me? Because it can't be just because it says it in the report, this is true for you. And then how do I aim it at the things I want to do with my life or I'm being asked to do? That's called name, claim, and aim when we're trained as coaches. Name the strength is just the start. That's why you can't speak to some of these yet. Claim is like, well, how is it real for me? And then aim is, when does it work for me? When does it work against me? And how can I adjust the volume? So even just being aware that relator might be up too loud in a networking event, well, you know why. Should we do the, can I do a whiteboard thing, or am I better to just explain a visual?
You can try a whiteboard. They just probably can't see it, so it might be pointless. Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you have a core group of friends that you've known for a while? Yeah. So people with relator often see their friends in spheres around them, or relationships in spheres around them. And those spheres might represent trust, like you mentioned before, or depth or genuine authenticity. There's a measure of that. Now, me coming from the outside, you've been very welcoming, but I might be out here a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, the more one-on-one time, that's why that says you need one-on-one time, your bullshit radar will pick up whether am I dealing with a real person right now, and you will naturally move that person into your layers or into your circles, and you're going to be more likely to work harder for those people that are closer to you,
mm-hmm.
right? See, those little walls of those layers, they have a door on them and the handles on the inside. So you choose when you let somebody in. It's not like you're not prepared to go there, but you go with them into the deep end. And if those people aren't genuine, they don't get to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate for you?
Yeah. I struggle to maintain more than two or three relationships because I don't want more.
Yeah, there's the depth of relationship rather than breadth, right?
Yeah. And
some real shit.
And we'll, like, for example, one friend, I just stopped working to spend time with them because there was shit that was fucked in their life. So,
yeah.
And if I had, like, all these different acquaintances, like, I'm going to fuck. Like, I don't want to. Oh, business, you got a network. I'm like, fuck it. Okay, fine. But I don't need more friends or more acquaintances or.
Yep. Yeah, that's not what you're drawn to. That's not what feeds you. That's not where you thrive.
Yeah.
Just add a little note on that spheres thing. Often for people with relator, they have high expectations of what a relationship might look like. And then if somebody's already in one of your inner circles and they break those rules or undermine those values, they're very easily kicked off the island.
Mm-hmm.
If that ever happened to you?
Yeah. Yeah, they're swimming. Yeah,
they get the boot, man. And very hard to let them back in.
Mm.
So that's a coaching conversation for a manager too, particularly if you've already booted someone off the island and they're still reporting to you and you haven't fired them yet because you don't really have a valid reason because they just did something that fucked you off. So now how are you going to work with that person if you actually only work hard with people that are in your inner circle?
Yeah.
So kind of it helps to frame that the conversation around how people manage others as well.
Well, it's only something I'm learning recently where I find things wrong with them as an excuse not to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So I just try to make more of a conscious effort to take ownership of what I'm contributing to the lack of spherical integration.
Yes.
Like, yep, some good words there, bro.
For sure. Well, I didn't say spherical, but I'm taking it.
Oh, didn't you? Was it spheres?
Oh, yes, spheres. I didn't say
spherical integration. Bringing them in.
I didn't even know spherical was a word, but I'm into it.
Like that other word off here.
Yeah, bro. this is kind of it is a good management tool. It's a good self-awareness tool.
So you know why you're treating them like shit now, I guess, and trying to do it better or get rid of them. I'll just convince them.
Well,
but maybe that's naive. I don't know. I haven't gone big enough. Here's 100 grand. Fuck off.
Well, I like. Yeah, man. Sure. You might get to that point. You can't let them back in. Mm. I've worked with plenty of managers that have that challenge.
Mm.
If they have relator, but they can find other ways to kind of make that work. That's the thing. We kind of can give up on ourselves in this that sort of situation, and don't understand why it's occurring sometimes. And it comes from a strength, right? If you reframe it as a strength, then now with positive psychology, oh, let's use it in a good way, rather than saying, that's your weakness, mate. Oh, you're shit at networking. We need to train you more in networking. Like, that's not going to help.
Yeah.
Start you want a networking course or something? Like, that's not going to help. Like, this is the problem with HR sometimes, is we give them an annual review. They give people an annual review. We score them on fucking a range of things.
Yeah, go on, bro. Fuck HR.
Yeah, fuck HR.
Honestly, I don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Well,
that's the world that I'm living in for the last decade, right?
Mm.
And having to wrestle with, like, I think we're doing a lot of this stuff really wrong. It's off. Including the annual review. It should be more of an ongoing conversation. But
yeah, we haven't supported for a year. Why are you fucking useless?
Yeah.
And we won't pay you more.
Yeah, yeah. Let me give you feedback from 4 months ago, right? Hey, back in November, you know when you did that thing? Fuck off. Right? And your relator's going to hate that because it's going to be formal. See how you like more prefer informality?
Yeah.
If I'm your manager and I'm trying to sit you down with some formality, guess where you are in your brain?
Yeah, now get fucked.
Everyone's in the amygdala at that time.
Someone said that the manager said to me, you're the best and worst person ever managed. Best because I don't have to do anything, but worse if you're fucking up, I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah, sure.
Just leave me alone, give me a phone. Like,
yeah. Well, speaking of, I don't know where we were going with the annual review thing, but yes.
Well, managers needing guides on how to deal with others is basically what flowed into that.
Yeah.
I just push a button every 30 minutes because it stops.
Okay, sweet. It might come back, but that relator strength and your others that we can work through, if I'm your manager, now I get an extra insight into how you thrive. What do you need in order to kind of get the best out of you? And if I'm like extroverted manager and got like the woo strength, which loves, they're going to the 14 people, not the 4 at the party. I'm going to look at you like you're dumb. Like, come on, dude. Like,
weird and awkward.
Just all you have to do is walk up and smile and shake hands and it's great. Like, no, it's not fucking great for relators. It just doesn't work that way. But if I know you've got relator, I can now have insights into how to manage you best. For example, onboarding, right? I'm not taking you to the morning tea with 14 people and going, introductions, everybody.
Mm.
Relator's going to be like, I didn't meet anybody today. No, your onboarding now for Relator is, let's set you up with one-on-one time with key people in the building and go fucking have a beer or something and actually like let the layers happen. And then now you're more prepared to work with them because you feel safe.
Yeah, yeah. Or subverse them on being authentic. Because if I spend one-on-one time with someone that's full of shit, that's not going to help.
Sure. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know what though? Like relators often, because the bullshit radar is so sensitive, they will read and judge someone really quickly. But if they give them a chance to kind of see behind that, whatever signals they're getting that says this person's fake, usually they end up finding something real about that person. And you know what else is interesting? Is a lot of people have that relator strength as dominant. And so when you walk into that party with 14 people, you can guarantee a few of those people are going to have that and really appreciate the genuine authenticity that you bring to the conversation. They're looking for it too. The one standing on the wall, the perception is that they don't like people. They're actually just waiting for the deep convo, but afraid of taking the first step because it feels uncomfortable.
I usually find them as well. It's interesting.
You sure do, man.
Get the stragglers, I say. Start for the stragglers.
Uh-huh.
Less consequence as well. They need you. You know, go over there. Oh, hey, buddy. Are you lonely too? And they're like, yeah, but they don't say it like that.
And it's same true with, like, I like to say you manage people, but you also manage perceptions, right? So if you are managing me with your relator, I might have the perception that you're standoffish or, you know, a little cold if you're not, if you've got not got the energy to kind of interact with me, especially if we don't have a relationship yet. So that perception, how do you manage that perception? Because that's not your intention. Your intention is to have depth of conversation, but your behavior presents something else, and so I judge you on your behavior.
Yeah, that one, people struggle with me because I go so deep so quickly.
Okay, so it's that way around.
Yeah, it's not so much like I just force the situation where it's going to work for both of us.
Yeah.
So I don't actually, not so much cold or distant with someone. Like, I deeply care and get to a point where they're like, they get scrambled often. Yeah. Like, say a girl, I go on a date with her. The next day, she's like questioning her whole reality because she told me that, you know, her father did something fucked up when she was five.
Right.
And we only talked for 20 minutes.
That's the safety that you pull people into, man.
Yeah, but to unsafety because you go too quick.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, there you go. That's your version of that strength turned up too loud. And then, and you're obviously a very emotionally intelligent person. So we're not trying, and definitely not on a podcast, we're not trying to, like, develop your emotional intelligence here. But
if you want, it'd be good.
I'm sure as a result, it will a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
you will start noticing your relator more now.
Mm.
I saw it all over the show when I watched your posts and listened to your podcasts and things like that since knowing I was come on. Just in the way that you present yourself, you can kind of see that relator. And as soon as we name it, we start to see it more. So your homework is to notice your relator. See when it turns up. Might turn up in places that you're not aware of yet.
Well, I remember it now. The audio part, I remember that. Reading shit.
Hmm.
I don't fucking read. I stopped reading books. Just ask people about them, watch summaries.
Yeah. Steven, what did you post the other day? You wanted to have 200 meaningful conversations or something?
Most
just that meaningful part? Like, you want that depth of conversation.
Yeah. Well, the fuck you talk about the weather. So do they, though. You know what I mean? They just need to earn the trust.
Yeah, you do not like small talk, man. And that's for later.
Yeah. I know some people do, so I just play the game until we can get there.
For sure, yeah, understanding that they might not go there as quickly.
No cunt does, man. Well, maybe a couple, if you're a relator listening.
I've got relator, I'm ready to go, man.
Oh, yeah? Okay, good, man.
But as long as the other person's genuine, right? Mm. They ain't going to get nothing from me if I feel like they're just trying to sell me a shit car or something.
Are you saying I'm not in your sphere? Are you saying I'm out here and you feel nothing?
You've already travelled in, like, quite far, man.
This is getting weird.
What's weird is you have trillions of synaptic connections in your brain,
mm-hmm.
yeah? And a four-year-old, have you got any four-year-olds in your life?
No.
Well, a four-year-old has...
I've heard of them.
Yeah, have you?
I could pretend. I could work it out. I could think how they think, probably.
Bro, a four-year-old has twice as many synaptic connections as you.
Why are they dumb fucks then? Nah, just kidding.
And you can see it in their behavior, right? There's lots going on. So just visualize that. Twice as many synaptic connections as you do as an adult. So from 4 years old to 18, 19 years old, you go through this process of synaptic pruning. So you prune down the amount of synaptic connections you have.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting for me anyway is that is based on a use it or lose it kind of theory, where the more of those synaptic connections you use, the more they solidify. Kind of like a bush that you're walking through. The more you walk through that bush down that pathway, the more it opens up and is more obvious as to the way you go through that bush, right? And then you get to adulthood and you've created these very clear paths in which you make, you know, create, like, develop relationships and make decisions about whether I'm safe or not.
Mm.
And that pathway's there, and it doesn't go far in terms of your dominance because those are already, like, quite solidified.
Mm-hmm.
Now, already I'm hearing people, if they're listening, they're like, well, what about neuroplasticity?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm no neuroscientist, but neuroplasticity for sure. Things can shift. But what's interesting about Gallup's StrengthsFinder assessment is after 30 million people have done the assessment, they look at that data and they notice that there's an 85% retest accuracy rate across life. So you kind of keep these pathways for most of your life. Yes, they adjust. And the argument is, if they're there and they're there for a long time and it's you, there's actually more neuroactivity down that pathway for growth. So let's grow that thing rather than this fucking annual review. And here we go, we're coming back to that thing.
You that need says, a counselor, right? You need to move on.
Yeah, yeah, that says, no, this is why I do the work that I do.
Oh, yeah.
That says, let's try and build a strength that you don't have.
Yeah.
Let's spend $3,000 on a 3-day like course because you can't network. I'm going to try and build another pattern of behavior. It's not going to happen. It's more, what patterns of behavior have you got, and how can we expand those and be more self-aware of them so they work for you?
But I've been saying that to people, but they don't want to agree with it. I'm like, yo, I don't think I've changed much. I'm just better at managing what I've got. Mm. And then I say that to them. Perfect. They're like, no, I've changed heaps. It's like you destroy their hope. No, just what you are is what you are. You know?
Yeah, well, you're both right? Oh, from my perspective anyway. You definitely change a lot. But you keep some of these fundamental pathways that are there.
Yeah, I'm going to get triggered for life with people, I think. I think this is reality. Well, I mean...
Yeah, of course.
You got a foundational framework of the way you approach things, and I'm just trying to confirm what I already think. Mm-hmm. And I have to make a conscious effort not to, and even then it's hard.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, we're up to real later. I only look at this so it doesn't like trap out, and then it's just me for 10 minutes.
You know, the other interesting thing about strengths is there's a lot of research there that says when people play to their strengths, they experience ease, excellence, and enjoyment. That's the three E's.
Mm.
They are more fulfilled.
Yeah, I believe that.
When you're doing work with meaningful people, with people close to you, you're in a place that is more enjoyable, feels more at ease, and there's more likelihood of excellent results.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't we get people to play to their strengths more?
Yeah, I was thinking while you're talking, like, shit, this guy's good at creativity working with me, and I'm getting him to do subtitles.
Yeah, dude. Well, when you get him to do the strengths like assessment, and break that down with him, and then you have a shared language around, like, do you love this? Which of your strengths do you use when you're doing this? And what else could you do that where you might thrive more? The other flip side to that is if we don't feed our strengths, they get hangry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't feed your strengths with, like, one-on-one time or, you know, meaningful relationships, you might start getting disengaged in your work.
Yeah, yeah.
People that play to their strengths are, what is it, 3 times more likely to report a quality of life?
Interesting.
6 times more likely to be engaged in their work.
Well, I don't know the rest of the strengths, but just that coffee thing you talked about, having 200 conversations.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll get to, like, 5, and maybe I'll be, like, hanging and, like, forcing myself to do strategic thinking.
Yeah.
But the other day when I had, you know, whatever, 5 meetings, everyone would be fucked, but I was just, like, pumping.
You were alive.
Mm.
Yeah, man. And isn't that what we want for each other?
I think so.
Because we're going to be all dead soon.
Fuck typing.
Might as well, like, love this shit. And that's what, like, was painful for me in HR, is watching people, like, push shit uphill, swim upstream, like, drag themselves to work. And not that we've got the luxury of kind of playing to our strengths all the time, but surely we're going to have a bit of that in our life, because otherwise we're just fucking wasting it, man.
Oh, speaking of wasting life, fuck. Talk to the average Joe. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm just drinking again because I hate Monday. So I'm like, well, that's not a solution, is it?
I know, man.
We need less HR people.
It's not an easy answer there, eh? Cause,
yeah, don't be a pussy. You know what you should do.
Sure.
That's the reality of life, isn't it? Like, deep down, I don't need to teach you nothing. There's some skill deficit, but you're like, you know what you need to do.
I believe that too, that the answer is in yourself. If you can kind of take the time to explore that and pull it out.
Well, if you eat healthy, have meaningful connections with people, and pursue your purpose, even though you're shitting yourself, you'll probably be pretty happy. Sure. Oh, no, I need this right. No, you don't, cunt. You need to fucking courage.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the realizations that we have when we do strengths coaching is people going, oh, fuck, this is why I'm not happy.
Mm.
Or this is why this feels hard. Or this is why I'm disengaged, and that's turning into hangriness, and I'm pissing people off, or, like, not completing the work to the degree I'd like to, and they're just not a fun place to be.
No.
Now I go and drink.
Yeah.
Until it's Monday. So what about this achiever strength? You like to be busy?
Yeah. I don't get holidays.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's a weekend look like?
Work.
Really?
Yeah,
Saturday and Sunday.
Sunday not so much. Okay, so Saturday is strategic thinking yep. about thinking.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be stuck in a business just doing the same shit, not getting better. Because yeah. I love like thinking long term and thinking how to do things better or create yeah. better spaces for people. And then Sunday is connection okay. with family and friends. But connection's woven into it anytime. So I don't see it as Monday to Sunday. I see it as like, hey, they want to go to the beach with me. It's 10. Fuck it. Let's go to the beach.
Sure.
But mostly, and that's because I put in the consistency of effort. Yes. So then there's no fear of wasting time.
Yep.
Okay. Cheat days.
How are you when you don't feel like you've done all the things that you should have done? Haven't ticked off your list.
It's not so bad if I'm not ticking off the list. The bad thing is if I'm replacing that with shameful activity, shall we say, you know, like gluttony or, you know,
right,
stuff like that. So it's like doing things that are like avoidant behavior and like, oh, poor me. And like, fuck it. That's when I'm like, oh, if I don't do stuff and there's a reason, that's okay.
Okay. If you've got a reason. Yeah.
But I'm not here to just fucking, you know, exist. I want to do something.
Mm. Have you got a lot to do at the moment?
It doesn't feel like it.
Have you got a long list of things to tick off?
Yeah, I got fucking 20 coffees in a week and a half.
Okay, so people have become your tasks to do.
Now, what I do is someone said to me, I struggle with context flips and I was feeling burnt out. So I needed to frame the things I do and prioritize them.
Yep.
So I've got like a year of shit that is either important but not urgent, and that's in the back. I don't have to look at it. I pull out the six and then just do those six that are the most important and urgent.
Yeah, sure.
And do them one at a time.
They say that achiever actually put it this way, people without achiever strength, this pattern of behavior, this pathway in your neuroactivity, that without achiever, they will start the day with 5 coins, and every time they do something, they spend a coin. Achievers are more the opposite. They start the day with no coins, and every time they do something, they get a coin. Hmm. There's this interesting thing that happens with people with achiever that doing things is energizing, so they're more drawn to that. There's a gravity to wanting to do a lot.
Mm.
Do you resonate with any of this stuff on here?
Sure, I go do the read thing again.
Yeah, man.
All right, listeners, we're back to that sheet thing from way back. We've got the
from way back.
Well, it's been a while. It's been 42 minutes, bro. Sweet. Just so you can, because we're up to one.
Yeah, just so usually the start part we explore and wrestle around, and then
it flows. Get through a few more. You just Eckhart Tolle it. Yeah, yeah. So this is achiever, the I bring section. Pace. I can be a pace setter, diligence and follow through, hard work, intensity and stamina, a willingness to go the extra mile, a goal-driven focus on completion, a clarification of goals, targets and measures of success.
Is some of that true for you?
First two, pace and diligence and follow through, no.
Okay.
Go the extra mile and mainly go the extra mile. And stamina and intensity, hard work, that one. So I found having goals stressful,
right?
Especially in selling, because I was scared and they're like, hey, how many sales do you want? I'm like, I'll just say the number and pretend I never said it. And I'll just say, I've got to talk to 40 people today.
Sure.
And that became the process, became the goal.
Okay, nice.
So like, for example, my dream is to help people live fulfilling lives.
Great.
That's the drive. And then I ignore it. And just do the process. I don't have goals.
Tick the boxes.
Yeah. So that's the I bring. Are we doing I need or are we talking about I bring? Last time you spoke about I bring.
Well, yeah, achievers do bring that kind of stamina because they get energy from doing. So if I know you've got achiever, I know that if I put a list of things in front of you to tick off, you're likely to probably get through that quicker because your focus is on the doing. The reason why I asked you about your weekends is you don't park this at your work and go home, and the achiever stays in the office. Usually achievers need to be active resting, right? Like they need to be doing in order to rest.
No, I don't.
Can't sit for too long without doing.
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't quite land because when I'm at home, I go, fuck, I don't need to do nothing. Like, I'm just chilling. Like, good. You know, I work so hard so I can rest.
Right.
And so I just shoot the shit, cook a breakfast. Huh?
Yeah, you've done enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good.
So the whole thing's bullshit.
No, this is the process. Because we just want to dig out the things that are true for you and park the ones that aren't.
Mm.
That's the difference between me just reading this and going, oh, this is who this dude is.
Yeah.
I'm going to hire him because... He has something on his report.
Yeah, I don't play with the other people's rules, man. No, it's not going to work. Hire me. No, okay, so I need? Are we on I need?
Yeah, let's go I need. Where would we feed this strength?
Yeah, true. I bring this, but I need this to feel good. Yeah. Goals to accomplish. Work. I need to be busy. A clear measurement of success. Someone to occasionally help me push pause. Recognition of hard work and let me celebrate others to be hardworking. I think the thing that appeals to the pause, I don't need to pause. I need help to not get overwhelmed.
Yeah, okay.
That's why I don't like books. I'm like sitting there reading. What does that mean? Like, but if someone's there, I'm like, what does that mean? They're like that. I'm like, and then I keep going. I don't need to be like pause. You know what I'm saying? I need someone. I think
the pause is for people with achiever that is really dominant for them. Is that because their energy comes from doing? Sometimes you find people that aren't self aware. They just keep on going.
Oh, yeah, burn themselves out.
Yeah, yeah. That turned up too loud. So often we ask achiever, like, well, how do you celebrate success? If you live a life like that, how do you stop and celebrate your achievements?
I like doing it. I don't give a fuck if I get it. You know what I mean? Like,
there's achiever.
Yeah. Like, if I got an award. I imagine, like, getting an award for something, and they're like, so and I just...
Where is the reward for you, then?
It's the work.
There you go, that's achiever.
No, fuck you, that's not what it said. You're just adapting. Let me read this again. It says goals, doesn't it? To accomplish.
Well, you told me about goals in your 40 things. You created a checklist, which achievers love. And
I hate checklists. This is why I'm struggling with you on this one, bro. Okay, help me get there.
I love the wrestle. Well, the clearest part where I've seen it, and I presume I have to assume the report is somewhat accurate, but then I hold it loosely because I'm not here to tell you what you've got. Mm. But I heard it the most when you talked about the doing is the reward.
Okay.
Because that energizes you. You get some fulfillment from doing the thing. You don't actually need the...
I think it lands in the sense of like if we're not doing something, same thing with a meaningful connection. If it's not worthwhile, what the fuck are we doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I'm just not gonna just make a toy and then break it up and then make it again.
Yeah,
I'll throw it at the fucking assessment's face. Like there was a study they did of that, where two groups were like, make the toy and we'll break it, but we'll give you more money each time you make it. Huh. How soul destroying.
Wow.
And then one where they could keep it. And the ones that got paid less, that could keep it, cared more.
I might argue that that is your relator and achiever combined, right?
Go on then.
So you are a strength soup. All of these strengths kind of flavor each other in some ways. And so now we're talking about, I like doing, but the doing has to have some sort of genuine meaning to it. It has to be making some sort of difference.
Well, the only thing is like... Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
The checklist, like, as soon as you see checklist, I'm like, gross. As soon as I go and someone tells me all the shit I got to do, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like, but that's why I was trying to go the different route of meaningful. Mm-hmm. Like I don't mind sitting down all day and just thinking about thinking and not actually achieving
it. You have a lot of strategic thinking strengths.
Yeah.
You have this learner strength, this input strength, the ideation strength. It's no wonder you don't like being told what to do, because ideation is kind of like, I'll come up with my own way. I'll come up with my new ideas. And intellection, have a look at what the needs of intellection is.
Okay. Do you want your paper? Oh, no, you got fucking... Okay, people, he's got four boxes.
We start with your top five, but okay. I put your top 10 in just in case we see a sign of those ones as well.
Sounding a little star signy.
The dominances. So there's 34 strengths, right?
Yeah.
I should have said earlier. So Gallup, in their 30 years of research on 2 million people from 48 countries, they noticed there was hundreds of common patterns of behavior, and then they packaged those hundreds of common patterns of behavior into 34 strengths. And then when you do the assessment, it ranks most likely dominant to least likely dominant out of all 34. So that's all it did when you did that assessment. It just shuffled itself until you were finished. And then now we know where your dominance sits, much like you've got a dominant hand, right? We don't ignore the left hand.
Non-basketball. Right, I'll split hand. You both sides, yeah. Right? Left and right. No, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So, but then as you travel through your top five, top 10, the dominance starts to drop off. And so the more down the list you go, the less loud or more, less obvious it is.
Okay. Well, I'll read your thing. The relator, you're killing it, loving it. The achiever, I was like, and then when you sidestep to, hey, there's these other things that you can mix, I'm like, star signs. That's what I'm thinking, but I'm trying to be open.
Good. Yeah.
What am I reading? Incubator, includer, intellect.
Intellection. What do you need for intellection? Just because you talked about needing kind of time to think, right?
Yeah, this is where you get me good because it's pre-written. And if I already said it, then I'm fucked. Okay, so I need from intellection. Complex issues to understand. Yep. Time for reflection and mediation. Others who will challenge my thinking. Opportunities for intellectual discussions. Occasions to read and analyze information. Apart from the read.
Okay.
I hate reading.
Yeah.
But the complex issues, yes. And I don't like yes men around me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me, you know, yes, Ryan, whatever you say, good job. I'm like,
yeah, you want to be challenged on your thinking.
Mm.
Yep. That's good. That's, for me, I hear, as much as you think maybe this is star signs, I hear your intellection as well as your other strategic thinking strengths like ideation, learner, being very open to just kind of thinking about new ways of doing things. And so, yeah, don't say yes. Let's work it out. Let's keep thinking. Let's wrestle.
We're wrestling now, aren't we?
Yeah, man.
We're demonstrating, so I can't say shit.
Yeah,
look, that's perfect, because you pre-read it, and then if I do it, then I'm fucked. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't disagree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's recorded.
That's why we try and have the conversation first, because I think that's the realization is actually holding the mirror up. Like, your strengths are so close to your nose. Oh, sorry, so close to your face. They're like your nose, right? Sorry, your strengths are like your nose. They're so close to your face, you can't see them. Yeah.
I'm going to clip that. You're going to look like an idiot.
The strength. Put it in slow-mo. Your strengths are like your nose. They're so close to your face you can't see them. So we like to hold the mirror up and try and play with that a little bit.
Mm.
I don't actually mind that we're not resonating with the achiever strength. We just kind of work out what is true for you and what's useful. The other thing is hundreds of trillions of synaptic connections, hundreds of common patterns of behavior, 34 strengths. Let's not underestimate the complexity of the human mind and brain, right? And so this is an attempt at simplifying it. But within your achiever's strength, for example, there'll be threads of different kind of talent and things going on there. That's why we try and unpack it and work out what's true for you. So in those lines, those are kind of some clues to the threads.
How do they, are those lines always the same, like for every strength? Like, is it pre-printed? Like, if we printed out all 34, it'd be like...
I've got a lovely little Excel doc that I chuck your strengths into. In fact, I just download it straight from Gallup into the Excel doc, and then it what do you call it? Just, puts it into different graphs and stuff that I can do, and that prints that out. So everyone will get that summary to some degree.
To some same words, though?
Same words.
Yeah, okay, so the thing that varies is the strength, huh? Not the how it's phrased.
The thing that varies is your interpretation of the strength and what's true for you about it. And also, because you're a strength soup, depends on what's flavoring around it, right? Because if you had a different set of strengths and relator, then it would look a little different than if you didn't.
Okay, I'm just thinking about this butter now. It's getting to me. We're at 27 minutes. It almost stopped.
Yeah. Okay.
No you worries. Can. Yeah. I just. Yeah. So like, I'm This is actually, even though it might not make you look like, you know, the fucking, the bee's knees as such, these will be genuine feelings people have, and we'll be solving these objections. So it actually, even though I'm being a bit of a cunt to you, for lack of a
I don't think you're being a cunt. It's good. It's very normal for me.
Oh, yeah. So you're being combative, so you're full of shit. You sound like Star Star. Because I started thinking, like, I could write out this shit.
Oh, look, I've just seen so much evidence and so much people, like, shift their life and move towards more fulfillment that I'm convinced. So I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, man.
You are drinking the Kool-Aid.
I think you're standing there sipping it being like, maybe. That's okay.
Well, put it this way. If I drank the Kool-Aid and the Kool-Aid was bullshit, but because I believe so intently, uh-huh. I reconfirmed everything. And because this seems to me so far like a useful framework to deal with others.
Mm-hmm.
And then you expand on that.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people that might not even do that introspection or think about themselves in that way,
sure.
And you give them that space as well as a reason, just that in itself would lead to the results instead of the
results. So, yeah. Although if I just picked a pile of cards out of here and said, there's your top five, we are not going to have as good a conversation.
Yeah, it needs to be justified. I would say, because I use those cards and bullshit people, and just use my interpretation of them, but they need to do some level of investment in order for it to be justified.
Sure.
Or it could just be so potently right, and the fact you know nothing and you cold read them, then they're like, fuck, they're hit with the truth if they commit it. But anyway, sorry. Let's keep doing your thing, man.
I think you're right, though. Like, it to some degree, if you've done an assessment and it looks very, like, proper and you're starting to see some stuff, yeah.
Well, star signs.
Work enough in and of itself, yeah.
Star signs to me is absolute bullshit. Maybe it's not. But the words resonate with someone. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah. And then it might make a difference because it says, be brave today. Because your Saturn's in your Uranus.
Yeah, moon's in retrograde. Shout out the girls and guys listening to this and non-binaries. If you believe in star signs, you could be right. Seems like bullshit.
I'm an open book, but this is the tool that I use for sure.
Okay.
And look, it's like steeped in research, man. Like Gallup is a globally recognized research organization. They didn't intend to create a psychometric assessment. They just did a whole fuckload of research and went, oh, this is interesting. What do we do with it? How can we make it useful?
Okay.
Should we keep talking about
I'm hoping there'll be more for it that make you even look better. The reality,
You know how to look, make me look good, bro.
Yeah.
What about your learner strength?
What about it? Are we doing I bring and I need or whatever?
Yep.
Learner strength. That's got heaps of time.
Yeah, heaps of time.
As I was saying before, like I need to know where I can end so I can invest. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah. How long have we got?
It's 12:22, but I don't have anything till 2:15.
Okay.
So we're good. I'll just have to keep pushing this button every fucking 30 minutes. Learner, I bring a more complex picture, an inquisitive mind with a desire to learn and find out more. A curiosity to discover new things, a desire for continuous improvement, courage when venturing into the unknown. See, now I'm fucked because I said all that stuff. So that hits. That one's good.
Yeah. Yeah, people with learner have a far greater like growth mindset. And that's where the don't just say yes thing is like, let's explore further. And you're forever a student of life, right? It's almost the learning never ends.
Yeah, no, I love learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, I think, that helps in sales. The best way to be interesting is to be interested.
Have you met anybody that does not love learning or does not have a growth mindset?
Mm-hmm.
They do not have their strength.
Mm-hmm. We cast them to the wind.
Yeah, it's far harder because they've got other dominant strengths that find them safe in a different place. So they go there and learner doesn't. Yeah,
doesn't relearn.
You know, we can I can meet a stranger at the pub and ask them what fucks you off about work, and that will start giving me clues as to what strengths they have.
Interesting.
Like, relator will be frustrated at fake people and not like a lack of meaning in the work that they do. Learners will be frustrated at people that aren't open-minded and ready to, like, grow. because all of these things are so natural to you, you've lived with yourself all your life, you project your own strengths on other people and expect that they be the same, but they're not. So yeah, learner, like, what are you learning at the moment?
Well, right now I'm learning about these strengths.
Is this enjoyable for you? Is there ease and enjoyment in this, in the learning?
Yeah, I've learned from everyone I meet. I think that's the way to approach. Sometimes it's not do that, but I always learn something for sure. Yeah.
I like that combo of learner and relator. When I'm like seeing your podcasts and posts and stuff, it's very much about this curiosity about who somebody is at a deeper level.
Yeah, I forced myself to do it. Like, because the other day I was talking to some kind about GST. I don't give a fuck, but it was interesting. He's like, I don't think we should have GST on fruit. And I'm like, why?
And then, right.
But
see, learner asks why rather than argues.
Okay.
Fucking tell me more.
What is, and we'll jump straight back into it. But when I did the commissionally sales, I would, that's all right. Noises, who gives a fuck? They're stuck. They're going to listen. I'm not going to edit it. I would stand like this, hi, and talk to them like that because I was so nervous. And I'd mirror their body language so that they, I found out you can get in rapport if you murder, mirror body language. Sure. If you murder people, they like you, you know that? If you mirror them, they start falling into rapport and entrainment with you.
Sure, yeah.
But then I found out that an even better thing is to actually find something interesting about everyone I meet.
Yep.
And how to direct it to find that.
Yeah.
And that was better than trying to change my body language and pretend to mirror them, yeah.
What happened in your development years that meant that you were interested in, like, humans to this level?
Well, I find EQ comes from trust issues, most people I meet. It's a repetition. If you get good at EQ, you need to be thinking about others a lot.
Yeah.
And you need a reason to think about others. Nice. So someone hurt you.
Uh-huh.
Because you're looking for it.
Sure.
So it was mum when it left when I was 4 because dad had a gambling problem and then she came back. I was really angry at that point in my life.
Sure.
And so now I notice that I'm always trying to see if someone's genuine, trying to be valuable so that it doesn't replicate. Would be my guess.
Yeah. That's a really good guess.
Mm.
Really good. Because that's a significant experience, right? And we're shaped by those significant experiences at that young age when you're still developing the pathways that keep you safe, right? Your brain is your the first role of your brain is to keep you safe. So it's interesting. Where did you grow up?
Palmerston North.
What does growing up in Palmerston North mean to who you are?
I don't know, it's a shithole.
is that where you mirror it?
Yeah, I mean, there isn't a lot of pride in myself and also in the places that I grew up.
Huh.
Someone said that to me. Especially I went on Outward Bound.
Yes.
Way back when. And
gotcha.
And I stood up and said, Palmy's the most polluted, has the most polluted river in the world, and John Cleese hates it. And they're like, that's what my introduction was. So I was like, I'm from Palmy, blah, blah.
Yeah. You did the Kanye West, like.
Okay, you going to be easy into this? Yeah. Risky, brother. Yeah, what?
The president hates black people, remember that?
Oh, yeah, George Bush. Yeah, George Bush it. Yeah, for sure.
You, George Bush, Palmerston North.
Yeah.
You had Palmerston North, like, right on your fingertips, and you just tell them it was a sewer.
Yeah, you get jumping one end of the river and get meningitis, yeah. That happened to one person, I extrapolated.
Wow. Okay, Palmerston North, not a lot of pride.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I do a lot of self-deprecating humor. The interesting thing about having 300 hours of your voice on something and people that listen to it,
sure,
they tell you what language you're using. And I use a lot of self-deprecating, negative talk, and low self-worth. So I started meeting people that hadn't met me before but have consumed my LinkedIn content.
Yep.
And they said that I seem like a guy that has low self-worth and doesn't know what he wants to do.
What happens if you speak the opposite about yourself?
Say nice things?
Yeah. What's the obstacle?
I don't believe it. I don't believe when someone says nice things or if I say nice things.
Right.
I get more peace when I'm vulnerable and the ugly things are shared and I'm accepted.
Yeah. Yeah, that related strength is super strong, eh, man?
Yeah.
It's right there. Like, almost that, it might feel fake if you push the,
Yes.
the, yeah. What's the, what's the opposite to self-deprecating? Affirming.
Yeah, that's a good word. I wouldn't have done better.
Well, you're an interesting dude, bro. Where did you go after Palmerston North?
I travel around the world.
Yeah, you like travel, eh?
No. I'm sorry, but yeah. I thought, so I essentially did everything I ever wanted. Yeah. Could die and not care, because I didn't have to work. I traveled, drugs, girls, all that crazy shit. Slept till four if I wanted, but it was so unfulfilling.
Yeah, okay.
And someone said to me, wherever you go, there you are.
Mm.
So I actually find purpose and a community more important than going out and seeing shit.
Sure. What did you like about traveling?
That I didn't have to face my own inadequacies, because it's stimulating shit, because I'm always doing it.
Yeah.
That's what, like, because I would just lie to myself, like, and everyone looks at me, oh, that's another fucked up crazy story, how'd you get into that? I'm like, yeah, this is cool. You, me talking to you right now is better than traveling. Like, yeah, you're just gonna go see the same shit somewhere else.
Okay.
People all, like, honestly, so right. many people are the same, doesn't matter what country you go to. They're all, they all speak human.
Sometimes people with learner and input like travel, because of it gives a new experience or a new learning. Like, as you're moving through a new place, you're picking up on, like, new insights that you would never have kind of picked up on before.
It is fascinating.
What's the needs in that learner strength?
Yeah, I did find I do find new things in traveling fascinating. It's just when I finally did some introspection on how I feel about myself, it was an avoidant approach that I was doing.
Sure, okay.
Sorry, I'm interrupting you a few times.
That's okay.
I need room to grow and develop, ongoing learning opportunities, times to share or apply the information learned, exposure to new information, opportunities and experiences, variety.
Why are you quitting this job and going somewhere else? I just realised that, like, we might need to, like, edit that if no one knows that.
No, it's open. Yeah, no, he knows. Yeah, yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Right, as I say. They can hear you, bro. No. I wouldn't be a relator if I wasn't genuine and transparent,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, you're all right.
Otherwise, it's bullshit.
Look at you picking up the strength language.
Yeah, I'm a learner, bro. I'm listening.
Yeah, wait.
What led to me changing?
Yeah.
So I only have one goal, is to help people live fulfilling lives. Yeah. And I realized finance wasn't the way to do that. The next part is, how do I reach as many people as possible? So marketing.
Cool. Nice. What's the appeal about going somewhere else? Or doing something new?
Well, I don't want to work for anyone ever again.
Right.
That's one. But it's genuinely all part of the plan. It's all what I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah, cool.
So it's not like, hey, I want to do something new because of this and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, people with the learner strength sometimes will be energized by new experiences and new learnings. That's why I was kind of curious. They often, if they're in a place where there's not any new experiences or new learnings, they get that hangry, right? That sense of lack of fulfillment. And when we see people with learner in the workplace, they might be in a state where their work is not providing any stimulation for that strength. And so that just puts a language to, like, oh shit, well, if we just give this person something to learn about, like a couple of hours a week, or go experience something new, or give them a new responsibility, we just stimulate their engagement and away they go again.
Well, to meet you halfway, I pick things that there isn't an opportunity to not learn anymore. Because people,
you didn't meet me halfway. You came all across
the all the way, 100%. Jumped in the water with you, bro. We're going down. Yeah. So, because people are endless.
Mm-hmm. Endless.
Like, you can't understand people.
Yes. So there's endless learning. And there's endless meaningful learning.
And you might be able to understand people completely, but you might not understand how to communicate so they can understand. So it's endless.
Yeah.
I think.
And you like that.
Bring it back, yeah.
Not everybody would like that.
No, I do love learning. Look, the iBring resonated heaps. Yeah, the traveling thing, no.
Sure.
But I did gravitate towards that, but it was more of a, the same way someone drinks to get to Monday, I was using travel.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so that's got a stain on it.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Well, it's bullshit. Every time I ask people this question, if you had all the money in the world, no fear, no responsibility, what would you do? And they say travel. I'm like, fuck up. No, you wouldn't. Because traveling is just moving.
Well, that's so funny because that would be part of my answer.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Well, I would definitely travel more.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But mainly because for some reason I enjoy the finding connections with foreign people and learning about their life. Like I'll go to Bali regularly to go surfing, but I'll try and get off that island to a place like Sumbawa, a place called Lakey Peak, tiny little village with seven almost world-class surf breaks, and I just love it.
Mm.
My intellection loves it because I get the space to think without any interruption. My relator loves it because I form meaningful relationships, and I get to surf my brains out and not be hassling for waves and whatnot. Well, and so if I had that question, I'd be like, I'll go back to Sumbawa, try buy a bit of land.
But what would you do?
What would I do as a job? I'd do exactly what I'm doing now.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I think the question answer to that is bullshit when people just say travel.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely believe wherever you go, there you are. So you're like, okay, I don't like it in New Zealand. Let's go to some fucking island. Then what are you going to do now? You're in the island. Fucking paradise turns to dirt pretty quick.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to combine it. I'd like to be able to do what I do and then also surf really good waves.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you find places you love, or you move different places to experience relaxation and appreciation. But if your goal is to do travel,
it's gonna pitter out.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, sure.
You won't admit it for years, but it sucks.
It makes for an interesting reflection, though, that people without money to escape are dreaming of the escape.
Hmm.
I could segue back to strengths very easily.
Yeah, go.
Well, because often people are, there's a lot of hangry people in the workplace. There's a lot of people that are living a job out because they thought a strength was something they're skilled at. But a strength is not something you're skilled at and you don't love. A strength is something that you love, you get joy out of, and as a result, you do great work.
Mm.
Not this whole, but I'm good at it, so I should stay, and they pay me a lot.
Hmm.
Right?
Fuck, I feel that jadedness seeping through your core, mate. All these HR experiences.
Hard out, bro. Yeah.
It's fucked. For sure. Yeah, I don't get it.
I'm not going to say it's all fucked, but, and we're turning a corner.
Oh, yeah.
But,
what, since 1900? When's the corner coming, bro? It's all just the same thing repeating. Socrates was bitching about kids back in the day that don't understand the value of hard work.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, yep.
No, we're turning a corner a little bit in that kind of understanding that the HR that existed 30, 40 years ago is just not relevant anymore.
Okay, maybe. The annual
review. But we still way too readily just fall back on that. Especially, I've worked with a lot of small businesses growing quickly, so they're starting to need some of those HR systems. But they get accounting advice, and the accountant says, you need an annual review. So they call me going, can you help us with annual review? And I would never give someone an annual review.
Yeah, what's wrong with an annual review? Let's unpack that before we...
What's that?
What's wrong with an annual review?
Well, on its own, there's something wrong with an annual review. If that's the way, what are you trying to achieve in an annual review?
Whether I should pay them more. Isn't that what it is? I've never done one. Right. I review them every week. I'm like, hey, bro, how do we help you make you better?
That's a beautiful thing. You're doing the right thing.
Okay.
Well, feedback has an expiry date of 7 days.
Mm.
Think about it that way. So the power of feedback is sitting right there in front of you, but if you're going to wait to your quarterly check-in or your annual review, then you're missing the opportunity to, one, point somebody out and recognize them, and or point somebody out and go, hey, that thing there needs to look a little differently next time because it's not what we're paying you to do.
Mm.
Right? Speaking to behavior impact and and giving people guidance around that and making sure they're seen. So the annual review on its own, let's put it this way, with some ongoing conversations and some routines and rituals around that in your business, great. But on its own, we're waiting to
get
feedback, keep people accountable, set the plan. Like, have you read Nine Lies About Work by Marcus Buckingham? I think you'll love it because you're an out-of-the-box thinker.
Can you summarize it? Because I won't read it.
He just goes through nine lies of work. He challenges this kind of traditional ways of like managing people and systems. And one is that the lie is the greatest plan wins. You know, in an annual review, let's make your plan, okay? It's got to align with the strategy of the business. But 2 months later, that thing is redundant because things have changed, they've moved. And we don't look at it until the year later, and then we go, oh, have you done the thing we agreed last? No, things change, man. So that needs to be far less formal and more an informal, ongoing conversation.
Valid.
And your relator will relate to this.
No, if I'm
bringing you in, man, after a year,
I feel like who are
with
you?
Some formality, we're sitting in this like corporate box.
Yeah,
like I'm measuring you on some sort of like I'm God. I get to measure like by numbers.
Yeah,
right. And it's connected to your remuneration, and you know that I'm going to bring up that mistake you did in November that I kind of misunderstood anyway because you never really visited it. Right, like, or we didn't visit it properly, right? Where do you think you're in your brain right now? You're in your amygdala because you're more like, well, this isn't genuine. This is formal. Where's this going? What's this going to mean? Am I going to get that extra money to pay for my mortgage? That's going up in inflation. Then we expect people to have a reasonable conversation at that time.
Yeah.
Think fight, flight, freeze. Think about the indications of that when you're putting someone in a formality like that. Of course they're wanting to fuck off and flight. Of course they freeze up and don't say anything, and the manager's like, oh, well, they didn't even talk in the annual review. Well, that's because they're scared as shit. And the last one is what? Fight? Flight?
Fight.
Freeze. Fight, right? Or they'll argue because like, oh, no, that's freeze, not right. Yeah. November, that didn't happen in November, right? They get... So we're in the wrong part of the brain. We've got to set up routines and rituals that work to somebody's safety. An annual review doesn't appeal in that way.
Yeah, it makes sense.
We've got to get people in that collaborative place where they're open and safe and able to talk. And if, like you're doing, you know how to do that because you relate a strength. Like you're doing, you're revisiting it over time, one-on-one, regularly. They get used to that conversation, and every now and then you can just plug in a little like, hey, we need to do that differently next time. And then we carry on, rather than letting that spin out of control and then we're trying to call HR to fire somebody.
Yeah, you get fired up. It's good, man. I'm not sure about the star sign shit yet, but we're getting there. You but I like the message.
It. You like it.
You like it. Calm down. Don't use that tonality. The relator, I like. The learner, I like. The achiever, work in progress. The intellectualizer, that made sense.
Cool.
So what are we next?
Look, real quick input is the cousin of learner. So it looks similar, but is different in that it is more about picking up insights. Learner likes the process of learning and the new experience. Input almost has Velcro in the brain for resources and information. And so you'll find these people like almost good at quiz nights almost, but like really like got lots of random information and they keep it, and at the heart of input is output. So they're often thinking about how could this be useful for others. So your learner input combination with your relator, I'm seeing that when you're open-minded, wanting to learn the depths of people, but also in your ability to like have output and share your own things that you've picked up along the way, you kind of just plug it in and throw it in along the journey. I personally absolutely see your input strength. What do you
bring?
What do you think about it?
What do I think? Do the bring thing? What have we done? 12:44. We've still got heaps of time. All right. Input. I bring tangible tools or information that can facilitate growth and performance. a natural curiosity and craving for more, a vast collection of all kinds of information or things. Yes. You lost me at quiz. I agree with all that.
You agree with that?
I don't want
to. That's all right. We don't cling to the things that don't work for you.
Okay, good. We move on. We don't worry about our weaknesses. We're
a complex human.
Sweep it under the rug. Only strengths. A little bit though, eh? Like I learned that.
Do you, when you walk in a room of people, or with when you're with another person, do you kind of sense the temperature of the room?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I say it, it's just fucked up. People call it arrogant, but I walk in and I feel like Superman with his hearing.
Mm.
And I feel everything, and which it hard to actually land.
Yes.
So yeah, no, fuck yeah.
What are you noticing?
Well, like even just when we're talking, I notice that you look away at certain times. So if I look at you too intently, then I need to make sure I look away sometimes to give you comfort.
Right.
Or I might think that you're breathing in a pattern that means that you're about to talk, so I should stop talking.
Mm-hmm.
So I intellectualize DQ maybe is what.
Yeah, these blue strengths, these relationship building ones, are more have a sense for others.
Hmm.
Do you know the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat?
I just think of putting something in your bum, but I don't know why.
What does a thermometer do?
Measures temperature.
Yeah, what does a thermostat do?
Measures temperature.
And?
Adjusted temperature? I don't know.
Yeah, well, the thermostat is in your heat pump.
Ah, yeah.
It reads the temperature and responds. So your positivity strength. The positivity strength is often not just kind of more optimistic, sees the glass half full, sees the silver lining, but will have a sense for others, like how others are, read that and respond in the interest of lifting other people up. So you just told me all about that. Like you notice the nuances of my behavior and you'll naturally try and adjust that so I'm in a comfortable place.
Mm.
It is a sense. Spidey sense, I'm not sure, but like...
So I'm thermostat.
You're a thermostat. You read and respond. And what's the bit you go out now and you could notice your positivity strength? Because do you naturally, and your people that know you well probably will be able to speak to this more, but do you naturally, if you see someone on half charge, want to kind of lift them back up?
Yeah.
That's your response?
Yeah, when you said positivity, I was like, half full, I don't know about that. But the lifting people up and understanding the temperature of the room.
Yeah.
For sure, all the time.
Why is that a strength? Why would I want that on my team?
Well, I mean, most of life is gone unsaid.
Mm.
So in a way, the best compliment I've ever been given is I give people the permission to be themselves. And it takes a lot of courage for someone to express something unless you give them a vehicle or a platform to do it.
Yeah.
So you kind of need to go somewhere first so they can come with you.
Yes.
So the strength is lifting people up when they thought they weren't down.
Yep.
Oh, that sounded good. Hi, me. Oh, I need to do some job interviews, bro.
Yeah, well, that's a very useful tool for people applying for work because you put that on your CV and then speak to it in an interview and say, here's who I am.
Hmm.
And it's a language. And if I'm making my own language up about that, that's hard for somebody to interpret. But yeah, positivity... real sense for others, real interest in lifting others, almost implicitly aware that people need to be up here or work better up here rather than down here.
Yeah, that's fair.
I noticed this in one of your posts recently. You said something about, I've been a bit quieter recently and everybody wondered why.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because some of your identity, your brand, is Mr. Like, lift everybody else up, I'm positive. And as soon as they don't see that, they go, what's wrong?
Everyone's been hitting me with this wrong. I'm happy, cunt, fuck off. I'm trying to help youth.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, sometimes people with positivity wrestle with that because it becomes their identity. And then if they have moments where they dip a little bit because they so often live a little bit above everybody else and they lift everybody else up as they go.
Mm.
And then they tend to have deeper dips to kind of recharge themselves. And often that's very transformative or like therapeutic to kind of go there and come back again. But while you're down there, you could either be self-questioning, like, I'm Mr. Positive, but I'm not. Or other people be like, what's the matter? You're not Mr. Happy anymore. Where's positivity? But that's like a natural kind of progression for
I can't unlove that voice. That's fucking hit me with that tonality right what that was about.
Nah, I thought you said we could be ourselves, man.
Yeah, but I don't know what that was.
That was met me yet. This has all been a facade. I'm just slowly starting to show you who I am. That's actually my real voice.
Could be. Imagine, eh? I think heroes, I've said it in a post, like heroes are the ones you should worry about most because they're carrying the burden of everyone else but never thinking they deserve help.
Wow.
So that's why I actually do what I do, is because I couldn't control my mind very well. Mm-hmm. And now I'm actually learning that being vulnerable and supported by others is important.
Sure.
So I don't have those big swings.
Yep.
Now. Another thing I notice as well, people say I'm chill, which is interesting when you said at the start. Like if someone was asking me, what restaurant would you like to go to? I'll say, whatever one, I'm chill. Which is actually me saying, I don't feel my choice is worthy.
Huh. And that's true for you.
I used to think I was because nothing gets to me. I'm so chill. But it's just that I don't feel like I matter.
You've done a lot of self-work.
Yeah.
What have you used for self-work?
Just this bullshit. just meeting every...
Imagine if you're like, yeah, Myers-Briggs.
No, like 10-day silent retreats, you know.
That's epic.
Meditation, psychology, you know, Buddhism, just any religion.
Yeah.
Using that learner sort of approach. Mm. And so, because I'm not challenging this because I'm closed. I'm challenging this to see if it's the truth.
I love it.
So.
I love it.
So this is the answer.
Healthy skepticism, right?
Yeah, sometimes
I'm with you on it, bro. Like after coaching over 600 people, I'm still like, am I working with a? Is this all right? Is this real?
Well, you're real. You could use I'll use one last example before we get back into something. But there's this men's support group that I was going to every week, and they use woo-woo bullshit to framework their course,
right?
And it's free. But because it's a space where men have a structured way to share their feelings and people accept them, it works.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But if you give, and I also find people need an excuse to be helped.
Hmm.
So this is an excuse to say that they need help, but in a way that's not confronting.
It's very third person.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, if we touch on something that they go, oh, that one hurts or it gets in my way, or that's turned up too loud, yeah, for sure. Now we're just kind of like, we're talking about me, but we're talking about my strength, not me.
So that's why I think it's valuable, a framework to understand and not make it personal.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. What do you reckon about this positivity strength?
I hate positive psychology. That if I read this and it doesn't say what you say about, like, you know, it's like, you know, you lifting people off and reading the room. If it says, like, you see the brighter side of life, I'll be like, I don't fucking...
You want to read it then?
Should we read it?
I've got one question before you read it.
All right, go
on. How are you with negative people?
Oh, no, I don't want to be around negative people.
That's very typical of people with positivity, because you want to be lifting other people up, but if you can't recharge someone's battery, but you still have to be in the room with them, that can be, like, draining for you, because your energy comes from lifting others up.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so I bring positivity, resilience in the face of failure, contagious energy and enthusiasm that will give any dark cloud a silver lining. Yep, a fun loving spirit that can get others excited. Yeah, ask the ladies, brother, you know what I mean?
I like the resiliency part.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
You'll find people with positivity super resilient.
Hmm.
In a room full of people and they're going through something, positivity kind of comes out of it a bit sooner and then can bring people out as well.
You almost need to change the word because of the connotation. Because like positivity, I remember seeing this thing on TV where you get put in a white room and you can't move.
Yep.
You're stuck in there. And this lady's like, I see the brightest side of life. I'm so positive.
Sure.
They're in denial.
Right.
They put the sprinkles on garbage just so they don't have to address it. Well,
we would ask the question of positivity, much like we'd ask all of these strengths, is where could positivity be turned up too loud? Where could it get in your way, do you think? Even if it doesn't in your life currently, where could it? What's the danger of positivity?
Yeah, when you get so separated from reality.
Yeah. Yeah, you tend to always look at the better thing, and then you end up saying, well, the upshot is you get a day off now your grandma's died.
Right? If you're going to relate. Yeah, or like those people that are like, I'm going to go to fucking Iraq and go through, you know, these terrorist organizations because we're all human, and then they get murdered.
Yeah, it can present as naive.
Yeah.
And so that's when you come back to managing people and managing their perceptions. Sometimes people's perception of positivity is like, yo, he or she's way too, like, it's all going to be okay. It's fucking not. Right? And if you don't have self-awareness around that, then that can really kind of get in the way at times.
Okay.
Sometimes people need a little bit of reality paired with that.
Yeah. Hey. For sure. Are we doing the I need now? Because that's what you're talking about, wasn't it?
Sounds like you want to, so let's go.
You're flipping it on me now, eh? I just want to lift you up.
I love this with you, man. This is awesome. I'm enjoying this conversation.
Good. Number 602. That was good social proof, by the way. Yeah, I've done this thousands of times. You know, nothing you do could surprise me. But actually, there's something unique about you.
Oh, this is why I'm addicted to this stuff, because every time I have a conversation with people, I learn something new about the strength and how it combines kind of differently with others. And it's always different, man. The combo is always different.
How do you stop confirmation bias? How do you analyze that you're not just trying to prove that?
Really hard.
Try. I don't put my best step forward.
Confirmation bias. I don't have that.
Yeah, no.
No, I've never had it.
Yeah, you're fluid.
It's definitely a challenge because it's the tool that I love. I see a lot of evidence from it. Yeah, that confirmation bias is once you see it, then you see more of it. Yeah. Mm. I just try and if I just step into coaching, like how I coach, I personally try and be all there for somebody in the moment. I try and go with very little assumptions as possible, although all of this is assumption. Until we make it real for somebody, I try and manage my own life so that I'm present in that moment as much as possible and like healthy. And then I really try and listen, trying to hear the nuances of what people are saying and spotting that. And then my intention is to help people. It's funny, I didn't know that one of your or your main thing is to help people have more fulfilled lives, because my purpose is facilitate fulfillment, right?
I'm going to sue you.
I use the facilitate bit because we kind of do like facilitate team sessions and coaching and stuff, that's what we're trying to do. So yeah, definitely not trying to bullshit anybody into thinking they've got this or that.
They're Gemini, so you can't be friends.
Yeah.
It's time. Okay, so I need interactions with others to share a positive perspective, chances to encourage others, freedom to experience the joy and drama of life, opportunities to celebrate the success of others. Yeah, that's fair. I used to bring people down to make myself feel better, though, which is interesting.
Okay.
Like, I remember,
so you were a jackass once.
Yeah. Well, I still am. I'm both.
I can see nuances of the jackass.
Can you? You got some good ones in this. So I'll unhinge it.
Well, that's just a... Isn't that like a self-worth thing?
Bringing others down?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think an insecurity is an insult wrapped in blame.
Whoa, see that input?
Or other way around. Fuck all it. These, ruined my poem.
Yeah.
No, fuck it.
Is this the camera that's on me?
Yeah.
Do you hear this guy's input? His learner? The things that kind of he brings to the table and just has it like on tap? It's because he walks through the world with Velcro in his mind and just like sticks and it never goes anywhere.
Well, I feel like you made love to someone through that. I feel like they're connected with you. Well, the good thing about this is... Someone
wants to play that game.
Yeah, shout out. Yeah, I think that's the good thing about recording this and me being combative, because people can look at it and be like, nah, Ryan was wrong, because look, he did that and did that.
Mm-hmm.
So I might listen to it later.
What would be interesting is if your closest friends read that.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, because sometimes we don't even see it in ourselves until others point it out.
It's also a point.
It's what we do when we take people through the one-on-one coaching and then take them to a team session, right? Like typically we might do this with a manager in their team and do one-on-one coaching so that they get a deeper understanding of their own strengths. And then we take it to a team session to do deeper learning about self, but also about the other people in the room, because that drives a lot of connection. Talk about team building. Let's not do a ropes course. Let's right?
Let's not do a ropes course. Yeah.
That's fun, but like, are we walking away with a deeper insight into who other people are?
How do you create the space? Like, if we were all sitting around a fire talking and just, you know, there was no tech and stuff, like, how do you create an environment of safety?
Well, hold that thought. So when we have the team session, each other in the room can be the mirror for that other person. And so often people have a couple of strengths that they're like, that's not me, much like you've done. But then you'll have people that work with them that go, are you fucking kidding me? This is you to a T.
Yeah.
So the mirror is good. I think the lead up of the one-on-one coaching can help set up the safety, because I'm not just taking your results. You've hardly wrestled with them yourself and then chucking them around the room and going, look at Ryan, everybody. His achiever is his strength. And you're like, it's not fucking my strength. Mm. Right? And so that kind of segue of the one-on-one stuff first gets people to the team session and they're ready. They're like, oh, I've drunk in the Kool-Aid and now I'm seeing everybody else's like strengths. It was meaningful for me. I've bumped into a couple of my team members since and it was meaningful for them. And so the safety exists from that. How else? I mean, I probably do a little bit of your magic trick, and that is try and be as genuine and authentic as possible.
Mm.
I don't necessarily try. I try and take people to places, like physical places, that are not like a corporate bloody. I'm not going to go to the BNZ and like rent out a bloody like a meeting room or something. I'd rather be like
on a ropes course.
I'd rather rent out an Airbnb on the beach and just push all the couches back on in a room and just let's hang out.
Interesting.
Random. I would rather it be informal to create trust.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm starting to see your energy dip a little there, my son.
Really?
A little bit.
Wow, look at that. You're reading, man. You're a reader.
Well, and you also said off air in the lead up here that you worry, like, as soon as I say off air, I feel like, what the fuck? But you're talking about how listening to people for a long period of the time starts to. So I'm just giving you an opportunity to direct this where you need to go, mm-hmm. as whatever will give it the best value for the people and for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can keep exploring any of this, but I think we've covered a lot. We've covered a lot.
We have.
It will be, like we were saying earlier, it will be interesting to see like whether any of your close friends or people in your life see this and see it as true for you. Has it been helpful for you?
Yeah, I think of my limitations in interactions with team members and how to facilitate a better environment for them is how I would interpret this. And then also a framework when I can no longer be the influence of the behaviors of others or understanding them,
yep.
having a tool to facilitate that.
Yeah.
So future me and current me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of themes that we kind of work with around the strength stuff. One is that needs thing. If we don't feed our strengths, they get hangry. And if I know your strengths and I'm your manager, I can help feed those, and then therefore I can access higher levels of engagement for you and fulfillment in your work.
Mm.
If I'm a manager, I can drive my own self-awareness of that, and also tell you about my strengths if I'm managing you and go, here's why I do this sometimes.
Here's why I suck at this, I'm good at that.
You can judge me by my behavior, but my intention is actually this when I'm trying to do that. So the needs thing, what do people need? Where do people thrive? Then how do kind of teams come together when they've got a different combinations of strengths? And, you know, what's interesting is you can have complementary strengths that don't really look the same, but you want those two on your team, but those two will be more likely to conflict unless we have a common language to kind of work that out. So now when I see like conflict in the workplace, I'm just curious about what is actually complementary. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that's a good place to end. Thanks for coming on, brother.
No worries, bro. Thanks for having me. I know it was like a random, like,
I'm so random.
Hey, let's do a strength session on a podcast.
Yeah.
But hopefully you've got value. People have got value. This is what we do. This is the StrengthsFinder work.
Boom.
Yeah.
Done. Thanks, mate.
Cheers, bro.